Again, my name is Shay Dunafin, and I'm going to use this opportunity to speak a little bit about my master's thesis topic, which is revegetating disturbed urban soils with compost. First of all, I want to reintroduce this idea, and this is becoming very well researched, very well documented, and it's also becoming a very common practice, and that is the practice of using compost for controlling erosion and also revegetating these severely disturbed land sites. So construction represents a significant proportion of what we call disturbed soils in Virginia. These disturbed soils, if they're left bare or they remain unvegetated, they can contribute significantly to decreases in water quality, specifically in the regions we're concerned about. In the Piedmont region, we're concerned about the health of the Chesapeake Bay. So not only do we want to combat erosion and promote greater vegetation establishment, we also want to find application strategies that are useful on the basis of cost, effectiveness, and management. So we chose two sites for our study, and the first site we chose, and that's the one I'll speak about first, is representative of the sorts of challenges that a new homeowner would face after construction. So, you know, this is, their house was built, they have a landscape where the topsoil has been completely stripped, and you're dealing with just subsoil. And so too, these are high maintenance sites, again, so these have to be aesthetically appealing for the homeowners. So with that in mind, we had two major objectives for this first site, and the first objective was to evaluate these various application strategies for turf grass establishment. In addition, we wanted to evaluate the quality of the turf grass in terms of biomass, color, and density. Just to give you an idea of what we describe as a severely disturbed soil in Virginia, we're talking about what we like to joke as a crappy soil. This gives you some sort of idea of what we are calling a crappy soil. This is a soil that has a pH of about 7. It has very low nutrient content in terms of phosphorus. And though I do not have nitrogen on here, the nitrogen content is actually pretty low. However, these soils are often at times high in calcium and magnesium, and that is because oftentimes they're limed. So this soil was limed with a dolomitic limestone. In addition, at the bottom, we have the fertilizer recommendations. These are the fertilizer recommendations that were given to us from the Virginia Tech Soils Testing Lab for establishing a home lawn. These are also the quantities that we're going to use for our fertilizer. So we had 5 treatments that we decided to use. The first one was just our regular control, in which we used the fertilizer recommendations from the previous slide. The second treatment was a 2.5-centimeter compost application in which we just spread the compost across the surface. The second one was to actually apply the same quantity, but to actually incorporate that compost into the soil, and we did that using what's called an aerovator. So we aerovated it, and we mixed it into a depth of about 7.5 centimeters. For our fourth treatment, we doubled the quantity of compost, and we used 5 centimeters instead, and again, we used an aerovator to incorporate that to a depth of 7.5. Our fifth treatment was a split plot, in which we used half the plot to evaluate what is 0.6 centimeters, which is about 1/4 inch. So just enough that when we apply the seeds, we put the compost right on top as a blanket. And the other half of that plot, we used a straw blanket, which is the industry standard. And both the composted blanket and the straw blanket, we applied, again, fertilizers. Now, all plots were seeded with what is called an evergreen seed mixture. This is a mixture that's predominantly 80% tall fescue and 20% mixture of perennial rye and Kentucky bluegrass. The compost that we used for this particular study was a very fine texture. About 94% of it could pass through a 1/4-inch screen size. It had a C to N ratio of about 24:1. And it had total nitrogen contents, total P contents, and total K that were all less than 1%. This is to be expected because the source material of this compost was actually a combination of paper mill sludges that were primarily and secondary treated. It was also had in addition a couple feedstocks, one of which came from a local baby food formula factory, so very low nutrient contents again. After 4 weeks of establishing our plots, this gives you some sort of idea of just how different these treatments outperformed each other. On the far left, we have the compost that was incorporated. This is actually the 5 centimeters. And as you can see, compared to the other two treatments, the control and the compost that was just broadcast across the surface, not only is the grass greener and thicker, there's a more uniform stand. And that's what our data suggest. So looking at the treatment effects of turf quality on biomass, we have a trend that is not only affected by the treatments, but is also affected by differences at the time of sampling. We have higher rates of biomass during the summer months and then the early, towards October, between August and October, and that's because most of this is a cool season grass, so you see that it's suffering from not only summer stresses, but it's also going into dormancy in those later months towards October. However, when we look at the individual treatments, we see that the fertilizer initially had the highest biomass. And as time went by, that actually dropped off. And then what we started to see was the higher quantities of compost were actually starting to outperform one another. Whereas the 5 centimeters that we put down had the greatest biomass, and then the 2.5 and so on and so on. In terms of the effects that we see on turf quality and color, we see a trend that is somewhat similar. Oops. Can I go back? Sorry, Bob. In terms of what we see in the turf quality effects, we see something that is of a similar extent. The greater the quantity of compost that we put down, the greater the color. So, of course, the 5 centimeters incorporated outperformed all the other treatments. However, and then, for instance, so we go from the 5 centimeters to the 2.5 and down and down and down again. And, of course, we have the straw blanket, which is the industry standard, interestingly enough, started out as the second highest in terms of quality, went up a little, but then we see that some of these other compost treatments are starting to increase over time. Overall, all of the turf quality colors did increase over time. We did put down fertilizer just this past September. To make sure I didn't go over, huh? In terms of the treatment effects on turf quality density, again, we see that the 5 centimeters of compost that was incorporated into the soil has the greatest treatment effect. We can also see that in this instance, the straw blanket actually had a thicker density than some of the other composted treatments, which is something that we've read about in the literature. Even though straw blankets do not necessarily produce high quality turf in terms of color, they do perform equally in terms of density. And a lot of times what that has to do with the fact is when this turf grass is first establishing, it's under that straw mat. So when you first remove that straw mat, it's kind of yellow, pale. It takes a little time for that grass to kind of perken up and reach the greenness of some of these other treatments. For our second site, we decided to kind of look at it from a different perspective. Instead of looking at a home lawn, that's of high maintenance, we looked at a disturbed roadside. So these are very low maintenance sites. Pretty much what happens is the Virginia Department of Transportation puts down the seeds and it's kind of a laissez-faire. What happens, happens. Occasionally they mow it. Not very often do they fertilize them. It's just, like I said, a laissez-faire treatment. So what we decided to do was compare these standard hydroseeding measures to a 2.5 centimeter depth surface applied compost treatment to compare not only the percentage of ground cover, but also weed establishment and fescue establishment. The compost that we used in this second study has a C-to-N ratio of 16.76, which is significantly less than the one that we used in the last study that was about 24:1. It also has a phosphorus content of about 3.25 milligrams per kilogram. Now, this compost came from a different source as opposed to the last one that came from a paper mill sludge. This one is actually a mixture of poultry litter and wood cellulose. So we're using a different compost in addition. I would also like to mention, I did not put a slide in here that refers to the actual soil, but the soil in this study is comparable to the soil that we used in the previous one. So again, another one of these really crappy, high clay content, low nutrient status soils. In terms of the treatment effects that we saw on the percent of ground cover, there's an overall trend here that illustrates that the compost treatments had the highest percentage of ground cover as compared to the hydroseed. which we expected. However, we do see there's a little bit of variation between the times that we sampled, and again, this might have to do with the fact that turf grass does go into dormancy, and it does, less ground cover might have been present during the summers when it was under severe stress. But overall, when you compare the two treatments, we see compost has a higher percent cover. In terms of the treatment effects on fescue establishment, there's two trends that we see. In the July and October 2008 years, we see that the hydro seed treatments actually had the highest fescue establishment. However, in the 2009 year, we see the reverse. We actually see that the percentage of fescue in the composted treatments is higher. But overall, the percentage of fescue establishment between the 2008 and 2009 year are decreasing. In terms of the treatment effects that we saw in weed establishment, this was simply an inverse relationship. As the percentage of fescue was decreasing from 2008 to 2009, we saw the percentages of weeds were increasing. However, between the two treatments, we can see that the composted treatments had the highest percentages of weeds both years. So briefly, my conclusions are, overall, what we have seen from the first site was that biomass is greatest in the treatments which added the most nutrients. So the composted treatments that had the highest rates of compost application were the ones that had the greatest responses in terms of biomass. Now, when we compare the incorporated treatments to the surface applied treatments of compost, we also saw that the increased responses in turf grass quality in terms of color and density in these incorporated treatments as opposed to the surface applied. Lastly, with the last site that we talked about, the compost offers, in addition, not only greater percentages of ground cover, it also led to higher percentages of fescue establishment, and maybe not such a good thing, but also higher rates of establishments of weeds. So lastly, I would just like to quickly acknowledge a couple people. I'm sure that any of them are here today. My major advisor, Dr. Rory McGuire, Dr. Greg Evanlo, and Dr. Mike Goatley, everyone in Dr. McGuire's lab. And at this time, I will open the floor to any questions. Yes, me first. To be perfectly honest, I did not. The second site was actually established before I started. I believe that they put it down because normally when they put down these compost applications, a lot of times it's common that they put down 1 inch. They do it by the depth. And I think that was the intention for this particular study. It was also a matter of cost because we were working with the Virginia Department of Transportation. So that's, I think that's the reason that they were going by, but I do not know that number.
Okay, because we actually did a similar study in Florida.
And you go by rate.
Ended up back calculating how much N we were putting on, and we used a compost that I think was 13:1 feed ratio.
Okay.
And we ended up putting on enough total N to satisfy the N requirements of the turf for 14 years. And so I think we can talk more about this later, but it's something that we really need to talk about when we're making these broad general recommendations for, say, homeowners to apply to the use of.
I do agree. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I had a very similar question, but this goes to the issue of many people think compost is just soil amendment. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a nutrient carrying, and as I also showed, a bacteria carrying ingredient that has to be carefully considered for what would be sustainable application rates.
Mm-hmm.
But you had good results even at lower compost application rates as well.
Well, it depends on what parameter we're looking at. When we're looking at turf quality, yes, they were fine. But like in the second study, when we looked at weeds, that was something else. We just, the fescue was starting to go down and we were starting to have these crazy populations of weeds. The last time I went out to that field site, it was a knapweed farm. I mean, we're talking knapweed up to my waist, so. But in terms of turf quality, yes. Some of these smaller quantities did work. However, looking at those graphs and seeing how the 5 centimeter had outperformed all the others, it kind of makes me wonder, could we put more, you know? But then, like she said, if we'd gone back and calculated nitrogen, we might say, okay, maybe 1 inch was enough. But again, these are very disturbed soils. They're very nutrient deficient. They need a lot of work. All right. Thank you.